Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Hey. First things first.
So yesterday, I don't follow a lot of people. I only follow people that I know, and it's a handful. So generally, if somebody posts something on Instagram, I'll see it. Yesterday, I saw an Instagram story from Julius Malema, and he was saying that he's been denied a visa to go to the UK this weekend. He's meant to be speaking at Cambridge, I believe. Mm. And as a result, he feels that he's been silenced because he's a dissenting view. Maybe an hour later, Mzilikazi Afrika then posted a letter. It came from Anthony Phillipson, who's the British High Commissioner. And the British High Commissioner says, well, the reason why the visa wasn't able to come through in time is because there's been a lot of bank holidays. Mm-hmm. So we've spoken about this on our show as well. Yeah. There's been a lot of holidays over the past 2 weeks, right? And while these holidays may not have been UK holidays, obviously the UK consulate is here in South Africa. And so when you're in South Africa and we have a holiday, the consulate is closed. Mm-hmm. You're not able to process anything. Likewise, they also had some holidays in the UK as well now to exacerbate the issue, right? And so it just seemed that they weren't able to get the visa in time. Now, we are told that Julius Malema was already at the airport when they received this letter because he thought that they would get their visa maybe by 3 o'clock and they'd be able to fly out yesterday evening, which did not happen. So now you've got to ask yourself, right? He seems to think he's trying to be silenced or they're trying to silence him. And, you know, the High Commissioner saying it's nothing like that. Of course, I don't believe a country would come out and say if they felt that they didn't want to give him a visa for whatever reason. But I will also state that Julius has been to the UK numerous times. He's given talks about his political stance, which was, in fact, a lot more radical back then when they started. And they still allowed him in. You see? Obviously, it was a different administration then, so maybe things could have changed. I also know Julius, and I know that he's not going to let any opportunity slip by without taking advantage of it. So even if this is just an ordinary decline, he will make a big deal out of it and he will make a noise out of it. The question is, what do you believe it is? So?
Nah, man, I think Julius is a VIP first and foremost, and they could have easily expedited the process. I get the excuse. I think the timing was right, but I feel like they just didn't want the guy in. Like you say, it could be a different administration. There has been noise over Kill the Boer, and we all know that. I mean, in South Africa, it's legal. The court said so, that you can chant that song. But, you know, it is, you know, the imperialists, as he would call them. So, given the opportunity, you can go to Cambridge and give the talk. But if they deny you the visa, then tell them, just like Mugabe did, Blair, keep your England and Bush, keep your America.
Okay, now, if you say that it's because of things like Kill the Boer, for example, when the EFF was formed and Julius was speaking about nationalizing banks, right?
Yeah.
And marching to a JSC, he went to the UK and they allowed him and he gave a speech there. A lot more radical than just singing Kill the Boer.
And also, having looked at that letter from Anthony Phillipson, there's a paragraph that says, given the purpose of the visa was to attend the Cambridge conference and that will no longer happen, it would be open to the delegation to withdraw the application on this occasion. So that, to me, says it was not declined. It was still in the process.
Exactly.
Which is why he's also saying that, listen, I don't have the powers to, as you say, expedite the process.
And the fact that they needed to apply for an expedited application, for example, which it means they know that they were late.
Not necessarily. You know what? For me, at least here, when we have that specific statement that Mpho's speaking about, they're willing to even reimburse. It doesn't seem as though they were late per se. But the EFF, of course, does maintain that for them, this is nothing more than the use of bureaucratic processes to almost stifle or suppress dissent. They'll stick to that, of course. But looking at what we've seen on that statement, possibly it is an administrative issue that happened, like you say, the holidays. So we cannot speculate, but I hear where they're coming from, because we wouldn't be able to essentially know if indeed there were bureaucratic processes being used to punish them for their political views in general. But we'd like to believe that as a country, no, they're fair, and it was really administrative issues that led to what we saw.
And a country, by the way, does reserve the right not to let you in.
True.
They don't even need to give you a reason. Like, for example, when the Dalai Lama wanted to come to South Africa,
oh, yeah,
we just said, except Kwali. And then there was that. Like, that's the dama. You see what I mean? So sometimes it just happens. And they don't hide it if they don't want you there.
Persona non grata.
Straight up. Straight up. Botswana told him, never set foot here again.
Yeah.
Even in Kenya, he said, you're no longer welcome here. You see? So they don't beat about the bush if you don't want a person.
Yeah, and Keir Starmer and even the United States, if perhaps we were thinking it's alliances here at play, that if we are falling out of favor with the United States, maybe the UK would want to also act accordingly. Keir Starmer and Donald Trump are not favorites right now. So really, when we look at the political dynamics internationally, I don't think it's what we think it is. Maybe it really was the bank holidays.
The UK has never once spoken out against Julius Malema.
No.
Not once.
No. And we did say, Uguti, the public holidays, guys, stifle productivity. So when you are finding yourself, even though you might be a UK consulate, but you're finding yourself in a country where there's only like, what, 10 productive days in a month, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
Because also, these are not the only people that are going out and applying for visas, right? Yeah. There's many other people that are in the queue, probably those who applied long before you.
But also, you know, I'm going to start and be like, yo, UK, you're going to holla at your boy. I'm doing big things in my country.
Right? We'll never know, guys.
Give us a shout and let us know what your thoughts are. Is this a legitimate decline, or are they trying to suppress a dissenting view?
I use a creative ways to enter the country. They can't enter South Africa. But let them find creative ways to enter South Africa. So it's a creative way to get to the UK.
That's funny.
But why do you leave it in the last minute? I'd like to know when was it applied. For me, if it was done this week or last week, it was incompetency on their side. They could have applied maybe 3 weeks ago, because this thing has been on his calendar, you know, maybe for months. He knew that he has to go to the UK. So for me, is incompetence on their side.
Mina, the fact that they even paid for priority application tells me that they knew that it was chai.
But do we know when they actually applied?
Well, we don't know that. But the fact that they paid for priority means they knew that it was chai.
Or they paid for priority because they were aware of the fact that we're in a month that has a lot of public holidays. So rather, let's err on the side of caution.
To safeguard.
Your mic is off.
To safeguard themselves.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah,
yes.
So we don't know. We need to get all the facts around when exactly they applied.
No, guys.
But it so doesn't seem...
Maybe say, when I've woken up early, I don't rush. If I'm rushing, it's because I woke up late. That's what I'm telling you. You don't see me speeding at 4 o'clock talking about I'm erring on the side of caution.
And the thing must have been organized like way, way back, months and months back. And you know who your keynote speakers are going to be.
Hi, guys.
They knew it was chai.
I would pay for priority no matter what, just in case, for everything.
Right?
Yeah, just in case.
Why not, guys?
It's the world. Mina, my opinion is that Julius is silent. Like Saul said, the process could have been expedited or on the basis that he's VIP. But currently, his views are not only pan-Africanist in nature, but they also include the issue of Palestine. And we know that Britain is involved in supplying Israel with weapons and all of that. So, like, there is a possibility that he was not allowed into the UK as a result of the fear that he might also be focused on the Palestinian issue. And considering that in UK currently, you can't or you are not allowed to speak about the Palestinian issue in public. And that's what I think it is.
Okay, so let's go with your reasoning, right? South Africa has been vehemently against Israel, so much so that they took him to International Criminal Court, right? But since then, there's been no South African official who has been denied entry into the UK. And in fact, we have been attending meetings with the UK, G7, G12, all things. So now, why wouldn't that apply to Cyril, for example?
I mean, I think it's a legitimate one. Julius, remember, is a VIP in South Africa, but not a VIP abroad. They don't look at him in the same way that we look at him. So they probably process his application the same way they process other people. Yes, maybe with more diligence, and yeah, he's not that important in the UK, so it's an admin problem.
Okay.
Maybe this was just what it was, you know, an administrative issue. But okay, see, Master Julius, you know, he's ours and we know how he is. And then you know, even if so, and he's not going to come back to apologize if he finds out if this was really an administrative issue. So, Julius, man, he's ours. This is some dry as well.
Yeah, and even if he knows what the truth is, he's a politician through and through. Yeah, me, right? He's going to take advantage of this thing. It'd be silly not to.
I strongly believe, Vuguti, yes, ama holidays are a problem. Secondly, I strongly believe, Vuguti, the UK does reserve the right to allow who they want into their country and not to allow people they don't want into their country. And also, if you look at the current geopolitics, the climate that exists between the Western world and Africa at large is highly questionable. So, asaz Vuguti bamigepi, but salayo uputaga hambiana, they can do an online thing, I guess.
Yes, everyone will buy a tandem and they definitely look out for each other. So it was definitely sabotage. My enemy is a friend of my enemy is my enemy. And if so the president from the UK doesn't have to tell us that he doesn't like us, but my actions work as a comms, especially after the stunt that was pulled by AfriForum lately and them having to say they bring in South Africa. Yeah, ever since that happened, you're gonna see a lot of they're definitely gonna change. Baba nga into audit na manju with how many people were declined and using the same excuse, you'd find that I conjure this was just plain sabotage.
Okay.
It was definitely not strange. I mean, just look at what they can do to their own citizens. Look at the Tate brothers, what's going on with the Tate brothers there. I know they're a bit on the edge, but still, for them to be just banished like that, you know, I mean, they were letting back into the U.S. first before they were letting back into Britain, which is also their home country. So, yeah, who was Julius? An African child of the soil. Who was Julius?
Okay. Is Andrew Tate from the U.K.?
No.
Oh, okay.
Hi, 959. Probably was a mistake, just a general mistake. But yeah, he should milk it. I mean, he's got a political agenda to advance, and this works in his favor. He must just milk it with Julius.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.